Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Monday, September 21st, 2020. This is the time set for the daily meeting and the public health update for Columbia County, Oregon. Mike Paul, are you on the line this morning? Okay, Steve, are you on the line?
This is Steve, I'm here.
Hey Steve, do you want to give us an update of the fairgrounds and the evacuees? I was reading through the sit rep and it looks like we're trying to wind down, so maybe just you could touch on our efforts there for a minute while we wait for Mike.
Sure. We are winding down. Our best guess is we actually will be through this today or tomorrow unless some other people show up, which we don't anticipate. FEMA came, I talked to FEMA when I was at the ECC on Saturday. Because the guy had actually called me here and rang up my cell phone on the porch. And so I met with him. They were under the misimpression that we had fires here. So I clarified that we were doing a sheltering mission. They asked if we needed help. I said, probably not. They asked if we were going to submit for paperwork for PA reimbursement. I told him I didn't know yet because I didn't know. We don't have the final count on the expenses and volunteer hours. And as y'all know, it's way more work for finance than the money's worth if it's only $2,000 or $3,000 typically. He is the FEMA PA gentleman is also going to be here this afternoon. We're going to meet this afternoon. Everybody did an outstanding job. There's a lot of commodities left. Stella is going to run the AAR on that. And whenever we get to that point, which we're going to try to do fairly quickly, given everybody's schedules with COVID and the other things we've got on the county. We'd like all three of you to be involved, but we certainly request that one of you attend that debrief. Sean did a good job. I got another compliment on Saturday when I was at the ECC from the ESS6, which is sheltering person, about the good comments that was going back and forth about what we were doing and keeping them in the loop and that sort of thing. So I need to report on that.
Thank you, Steve. And just to clarify, AAR is After Action Report.
That's correct. Sorry.
No, you're good. I knew what the acronym was, but I didn't think our listeners did or others, so I just wanted to clarify. And, you know, I think it would probably be best just to do that AAR with the board so that we can hear what we did well, what we didn't, and then we can also help provide guidance as to how to do better in the future.
That would be outstanding. Thank you.
Okay, perfect.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. So you mentioned that there are commodities left, and how are we dealing with those remaining commodities?
Sean is going to be working with the Fair Board to figure out what we're going to do with those. I suspect the food will go to the food bank. Most of the donated clothing will likely go to the landfill because it's very hard to find agencies that would take used clothing. The Fair Board has been calling around trying to move those commodities. There's been a couple of counties who've reached out to us. I don't have the county names off the top of my head, but there have been a couple of counties who've come and picked up some stuff for their evacuees. It's going to be a logistics operation to move the stuff where it needs to go.
What about the clothing boxes? Can we take them to those?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Steve, we've got the clothing boxes that take anything, and then also the St. Olens High School has a program where they, and I don't know if it's one of their clubs or if it's the high school itself or what, takes clothes regardless of its condition or anything else, and they get paid by the pound for it to be recycled into felt or something like that as a fundraiser.
Right. There are those options, and the fair board is trying to figure that out to get up, because we would much prefer to get to something where it's going to have some impact. I just speaking from past experience, often these agencies get overwhelmed and they're like, we just can't take any more. Also, for future note, we'll talk about the AAR. Disregard that.
Well, I'd also just remind you that the Fair Board is all volunteers, and they also can get overwhelmed. And so anything we can do, especially from emergency management side, with staff that knows this stuff to help them would be very good.
And we did have permanent full-time staff out there for the so we are trying to guide them to the solution.
And I realize there are also some concerns with clothing regarding COVID. I know that there are people that don't want to have clothing because of that. Another question, another comment. I did reach out to Douglas County and Jackson County, and I believe JC forwarded their contacts to the Fair Board. Okay, maybe we should forward those to Steve and or Della and Sean also. Thank you.
Great, Commissioner Heimler.
That would be helpful.
I'm done with that, but I just, you know, again, repeat that the Fair Board Emergency Management staff, the hundreds of volunteer hours that have been going on, the CERT team, the different committees, rodeo committee, and just all of the different 4-H clubs and everybody that have come together throughout the course of this event has just been amazing. And there's always a little tiny bump in the road here or there. Personality conflicts get in the way sometimes when folks are dealing with each other, especially in a crisis situation. But far and above, the work was done and done as well as it could be done, and I appreciate all of that.
Well, that's a very good point, Commissioner. They did, the ECC, the State Emergency Coordination Center, ESF6 folks, which are the sheltering people, have commented on the great turnout for volunteers and how organized it was. All those things. They gave us nothing but high marks for how we handled the issue, so that's gratifying to know. And the volunteers of course are what drive that, because we are volunteer driven in a situation like this year.
Yeah, and Steve, I think that we had about 551 volunteers through the fairgrounds. At least this morning that was the count. We were sitting at about 551 people who had volunteered from our community, which is amazing.
Yes, it is absolutely amazing. It's what I've experienced the entire 5 years I've been here. I know I've said this before in many meetings. I've never worked in a community that works together as well as us. All the jurisdictions, all the agencies, our volunteer partners, everybody, comes to the table, checks their promotions at the door, and rolls their sleeves up and goes to work. It's a heck of an asset we have here. So it certainly helps us here in emergency management.
Well, thank you for that update today, Steve. We greatly appreciate it. Mike, are you
on the
line?
Yes, I am.
All right, this is the time for your public health update.
Well, thank you. So I got some quick numbers and then a couple of things that we're working on this week, and so kind of quick report this morning. 31 million cases reported worldwide, 961,000 deaths since December. In the U.S., we are at 6.8 million cases since February, and approaching 200,000 deaths, or 1,999,500 deaths. May hit 200,000 today, just 213 reported yesterday, but we're averaging 700 a day, so we'll likely hit that at least this week anyway. A few states in the U.S. reporting the most new cases they've had at all since the beginning of the outbreak, and so our numbers are still 40,000 cases averaging a day, with some states going up. Oregon's at 30,000 cases, 521 deaths. Weekly report from last week, this should be the week September 7th, September 13th, Oregon Health Authority reported 1,294 new cases, which is down 12% from the week week before for 1,477. The number of Oregonians newly tested declined 35%, likely due to wildfires and fewer infections. So we're still, you know, waiting to see about Labor Day, kind of. Those numbers should start showing up if there was a bump. And that also that week, 29 Oregonians reported to have died, compared with 23 the week before. For Columbia County, we are at 148 cases, one death. Our first case was March 12th, and our numbers were pretty low until June. After reopening, we've had up and down with reported cases per week. Last week, per week starting Sunday, September 3rd, we had 7 cases last week. Again, most reported cases within the report shows the highest number of new cases is age range 20 to 29. So really focusing in on that age group as far as prevention and preventive measures. World Health Organization is warning that cases are surging alarmingly in Europe, and some countries have returned to restrictions. Other news, the CDC had updated its webpage on Friday about adding some language about evidence of airborne transmission for COVID-19, and now it's the webpage now says that the language is being revised and may be updated soon. I think, you know, for Oregon, we still operate based on the Oregon State Disease Investigative Guidelines. Those updated guidance. Those guidance were updated on last Friday, and as far as transmission, again, what we know is person-to-person spread is the most likely common way that the disease spreads, and there is evidence that aerosol transmission may be a factor in aerosols that breathe out and are suspended in the air may transmit coronavirus even beyond 6 feet. It's important, but I think don't know that it's actually that new, and we've known about this evidence for several months. Oregon also released a pediatric report last week detailing pediatric cases in Oregon. Shows a total of 3,264 cases. 11% of cases are pediatric patients. And there are just 2 cases of multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children.
Mike, can I get a this is Henry. Can I get a clarification on the pediatric? Are they using 18 years of age?
Yes, people under 18.
Okay.
Under age 18.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's 11% of cases under age 18. We've had 15 cases in Columbia County under age 18. Hospitalization, much less likely, just 1.2% of pediatric cases have been hospitalized versus 8.5% of adult cases hospitalized. We are going to be seeing a presentation tomorrow on plans announced for Oregon to participate in a mobile app to notify people they may have been exposed to COVID. Going to be piloted in a few communities. We don't know which ones yet. So we're gonna see a presentation on that tomorrow on how that works and how that might be helpful. We're also working on, food preparedness, communication resources, and hopefully working on some planning, event planning for pop-up food vaccine. That's all I have this morning. Any other questions?
Commissioners, any follow-up questions for Mike? Doesn't look like we do, Mike. Thank you for your report today. We greatly appreciate it. Next item on the agenda is commissioners' discussion. Is there anything for discussion? All right, hearing none. Department head and staff discussion items. Anything for department head and staff discussion? All right, hearing none. That brings us into our executive session. 192.6602B, 192.6602F, and 192.6602A. We will go ahead and recess this meeting to go into executive session. We're coming out of executive session with no action taken, and we will go ahead and adjourn this.